Have you seen that yet?
It's a $100 bill. I don't deal in hundreds. That's pretty cool, though.
That's the new plastic $100 bill. That's cool. One of many in my wallet there.
Yeah, your wallet is stuffed with these.
My back was sore from sitting on them all, tilting to the one side.
That is pretty cool.
For 8 years now, I've been shooting my giant mouth off, hard to believe, that we should get money like Australia. Because while I was in Australia, that's what they have. It's plastic, so don't try to rip it, but you can't. And it's got a window in it. But the best part is it's plastic, so you can go surfing with it, which in Australia came in very, very handy.
So did you have to go to the bank and ask for one of these?
Well, no, my drug dealer gave me that one. Hello and welcome to episode 46... 46, right?
46.
Yeah, it was rhetorical. Episode 46 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. I am Alan, as always, in Vancouver.
And I usually say, and with me.
And with me. Oh, do you want a better intro?
Yeah.
All right, hang on. No, I think you've earned it after 45 stellar episodes.
Play some music.
Yeah. I'll give you a drum roll.
Adam. It's Adam.
And with me... Okay, wait a second. Let's try that again. Okay. As always, in Vancouver... Not always in Vancouver. That's what threw me. But for now, again, coming to you once again from Vancouver, and with me is...
Adam.
No, you already said that.
Yeah, I did. But you know, like, I think we went over on a previous episode, I'm big into wrestling. The wrestling intros are the best. Mm-hmm. You know, like another one bites the dust for the Junkyard Dog.
Ooh. But then it made it over to Major League Baseball, and everybody had to have that song they play when they come to the plate.
Oh, from Major League, from that's where it really started, wasn't it? That movie, Major League?
Oh, I assumed it came from wrestling, but yeah, when he came to the mound, they'd play Wild Thing.
Charlie Sheen, yeah.
And not the good Tone Loc version.
No.
It was that old one by the Trogs. Ooh, good pull, if I don't mind saying so myself. Yeah, no, everyone's got to have their like super awesome song where they trot up to the plate now.
When I was in grade 4, you know, you do one of those lip-syncing things. I don't know, we did it in our school. We did lip-syncing in grade 4. I did, this is the mind of a grade 4, is I did Hulk Hogan's I Am a Real American.
Nice.
And I'm Canadian.
Wow.
But Hulk Hogan was awesome.
Ontario.
Yeah. Hmm. Not real.
I don't know. I was reading something today about the whole East Coast, Ontario / not really coast, but East Coast, West Coast, Ontario, Vancouver rivalry. And I'm like, is there one?
Just, I think the Toronto Maple Leafs and Vancouver Canucks, that's it. And apparently it's us that have invented the rivalry because Toronto could care less.
That's the worst. It's like, yeah, we hate them. And they're like, who are you? I don't even know.
That's the same thing between Calgary and Vancouver. Vancouver's got the same thing. And Calgary hates us. They consider us big rivals. Vancouver's like, huh? Calgary? Really?
Yeah. Are you in the league?
Yeah.
Huh. I did not know that. Anyways, back to photos.
Segway.
Yeah, back to photos. I shot video this week. What did you shoot? Did you shoot anything this week? Oh, I know what you shot.
I did. I shot some pictures with my brand new white background that I got in, guess where?
Ontario?
No, Seattle.
Oh, great. Let's hear all about it.
We went to Seattle. You don't really want to hear about it, but my wife's birthday, so we went to Seattle for that, and I happened to stop by a very nice camera store, Cameras West, in downtown Seattle. Have you been there?
No. I think it's part of Adorama, though.
A really nice camera store.
I don't know.
Nice big camera store, and got a background stand set that came with a white paper backdrop.
Do you remember going to a toy store when you were a kid and just walking around like, yes? That's what I do now with the camera store.
I agree. I just like to go look around. And this time I had no intention of going in to buy anything. I just wanted to look around, saw the stand, realized that it's about half the price that it is here, and decided that I would bring that home. Best thing about it is we weren't driving to the camera store, and this thing was humongous and heavy. So I lugged this thing around.
So your wife had the worst birthday ever.
On the monorail.
The monorail.
And it's like, it's honestly, I don't know, it's like 6 feet long and probably 40 pounds, and I'm lugging this thing downtown to the monorail. So
was it at least on the way home that
you
bought it?
Yeah, I saw it, and then I left it until we were on our way home.
Was it 8:30 in the morning?
No. I was smart enough to...
Taking the stairs? Up the Space Needle.
The best thing was I went to the guy and said, how many of these do you got? And he's like, we have two. And he's like, don't worry about it. We're not selling two of them today. You can come back later.
I want three.
So I was like, okay, I'll be back.
What a salesman that guy is.
Yeah.
You'd be like, nah, man, we're going to move these units. That's terrible.
These are our last two ever.
The good news is you're fired.
All right. This is going to be a short episode.
That's Glengarry Glenn Ross.
Yeah.
Love it. You knew that?
Yeah, I did.
Man, every once in a while you get one.
Oh, yeah. Not Popboy Doyle.
Okay.
I still haven't Googled that.
French Connection. You won Best Picture.
Oh, okay. But I'll get around to
anyways,
it.
Anyways, are we being too loud for your kids?
No. Kids are fast asleep.
From swimming.
Yeah.
Yeah. P.S. I was also swimming.
So I did. So I think the point of that was I took pictures with the white background. So that's what I took pictures most recently of.
And how'd you like it?
Love it.
It's a lot of fun.
It is. Yeah.
As soon as you start shooting with one, you think, why haven't I always done this?
Yeah. It is awesome.
Yeah. Especially the seamless one, like the one that you can bring out onto the floor.
Yeah. That's
because otherwise, it's awesome to have the white background. You can duplicate that with a wall sometimes, but having that seamless one, like I shot with that a little while ago we talked about.
Yeah.
It's just so much fun.
It is.
And I was going to buy one. I was going to buy two. I was going to buy one for Germany, and obviously I'm not going to fly with it. So I was just going to buy one here. Now I don't have to.
You don't. Yeah, I said mine's on lend. I was actually, when I was down there, I was considering getting me one. And then I said, but why? Mm-hmm. I can't carry two of these.
And I thought, monorail has its limits.
And in all honesty, it's not like this thing is going to be in use every day.
So yeah.
I could probably afford to lend it out. Yeah.
No, I really kind of need the white background today.
Oh, I got three other people in line to use it today.
So. I think they got one more down at the camera store.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's it. So a few pictures downtown Seattle. We've made it up the Space Needle for the first time ever, even though I've been to Seattle a million times, never been up the Space
Needle. I've never been up.
So we did. It's very cool, and we went at night, and it was definitely cool. So did that, and that's about it. And you said you did video?
That's what I'm here for in Vancouver, to shoot a lot of video, which is just kind of not interesting to anybody else. But I shot a lot of stuff with my 5D. And with another camera, too, if anybody cares. I shot HDV, which I don't know if that means anything to you.
Is that high-definition video?
It is, but it's a whole mixed bag.
Okay.
It's
a separate format, though, right?
It's a separate format. I shot with that just because a lot of the stuff I had to do was just I'm the only crew member, which we talked about before.
Yeah.
And I had to run around. It's called run and gun, and I had to be able to shoot really quickly. And the 5D is awesome, but not for really quickly.
Just focus problems?
There's focus issues. You have double sync sound because you, excuse me, we record sound on the same unit we're recording on now.
Yeah.
And so it's not tied together. And so you have to use a slate, you see in the movies.
Yeah.
And then sync it up later. But you have to have, every time you start the camera and then start the audio, you have to have somebody clap. And so it's kind of cumbersome unless you have a crew of at least one other person to help you.
They should make some sort of clapping machine.
They're solving. There's options out there to get around it. But the good old tried and true method of the clapboard works great.
Okay.
So that's what I did. I've shot some photos around Vancouver. Shot some stuff in the rain last week. I think I posted on my blog.
I did see those, actually.
Under
your recent work.
Under recent work. Walking around the rain is not work.
Yeah.
It's funny, I think I wrote it in the blog, I don't know.
Yeah, you did.
I miss the rain in Vancouver.
Well, you get plenty of it.
I don't miss it now, that I've been here for a little while. There is something pretty awesome about it if you don't spend every day in it.
Right.
So I do recommend coming and checking out Vancouver, even in rainy season.
Yeah, I agree.
So there's that. All right, let's get into it. Photo challenge.
And it was Rimlight.
Rimlight. This week was Rimlight or Kicker, the backlight situation. So let's talk about it. First of all, when I had this idea, or told you to have the idea, whichever we did.
I think that was more the line, yeah.
Yeah.
And I blew it, I think.
Did you?
Yeah, I think you made fun of me, and I couldn't read it or something.
I feel like you had that coming.
Yeah.
That's right. Anyways, when I thought, because I know you've been lighting a lot with your off-camera flashes.
I have.
But I thought, I am going to rim light using natural light. That was my plan.
Yeah.
Some sort of existing ambient light, whatever it was, I'm not going to light it myself. Which leads us to your picture.
which I did not like.
That's what I'm saying. It's like you knew.
Yeah. You know what? This picture, I was thinking about it. I took this picture very shortly after, like within 3 days after I took the picture, the previous photo challenge picture that we used of you, where you're in the alleyway and you're lit by the streetlight. And we were talking about, you know, how you would maybe make that picture different. And so when I was, this is taken in Seattle on my wife's birthday, I came across a very similar situation. It wasn't an alley, it was a street, but I had more light to work with. And I thought, this is, I'm just going to try to recreate a similar picture, but try to capture a very defined rim light. So I actually wasn't sure because I couldn't tell from looking at the actual back of my camera whether I had captured it or not. I thought there was enough light that it was going to create the limb light, but I couldn't tell. Mm-hmm. But when I got home, I was happy with it. So all I did, kind of like the previous pictures, I had her sort of turn slightly to the side so I'd get a bit of profile. And then I snapped this picture. And we talked about after the rain and the way the pavement lights up. And again, this had got all these Christmas lights, I think, had maybe gone up that day or the day prior, because everyone was commenting how, hey, these lights weren't here. Mm. And it was perfect because there was all sorts of neat backlighting. And I took this on an F2 at an ISO of 1600 and I think a shutter speed of 1/60th of a second. And it was all done on manual. So I just kind of fiddled around until I sort of had what I thought I wanted. And there you have it. So
I think I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think this is your best photo challenge photo yet.
Really?
Yep. I do. I love it. At first I was like, you know what? This might even look great in black and white, but I like it better in color. Cause you have those sort of golden colors in the background, but she is properly, balanced. Your wife, you have your wife looking off to the left just enough that we know who it is. I mean, obviously.
Or you do.
Well, no, most anyone who knows your wife.
Yeah.
You know, that's like the worst mugshot ever. But if you've ever met Lisa, you would know right away that this is her. You got the people in the background. You got the bus there. Looks great. I love the fact that you got the two little lights growing out of her head, which normally, people say, oh, you shouldn't have that. That's wrong. I love it. It kind of just adds a little more pop. Like, you're immediately drawn to her toque.
Yes.
What do you call a toque in the States?
I don't know.
Beanie or something.
Hat?
They don't call it. Yeah, I don't know. They don't know what toque is in Germany.
Yeah.
Mütze.
I don't know the other name, just the toque name.
So anyway, Beanie, I don't know what you call it. Someone write in and tell us. Yeah, I'll just sit by the email and wait for that.
Someone in Minnesota, tell us.
Yeah, I'm sure they call it toque. But you got all that going on, and the best part is not the best part, but one of the other great parts is that the road is wet.
Yeah.
And that reflects all the light, which is why, did we talk about it on our previous show? Probably. When they make the Hollywood movies,
yeah,
they hose the street down.
Yeah.
So part of my, just to bring it back to me again.
Yeah.
But to
please do.
Mm-hmm, I was in Seattle a while ago. No, I wasn't. no, I was part of the video I was shooting. I was downtown shooting video for one of my projects. And I was shooting on the exact same block as Robert Redford, which I thought was pretty cool. I'm out there shooting video for my thing, and he's out there shooting film.
He's getting probably a lot more attention than you are for what he's shooting.
Yeah, well, he's pretty old.
Yeah.
Though. So. No, they lit up. The funny part was, the reason I thought of it was because it was downtown Vancouver, and it was that night that it snow rained.
Yeah.
So it had poured rain, and then it started snowing, but there was still a guy on hand to wet down the streets.
Really?
That's the budget they have. They have a giant, like a big tanker truck. His job is to basically hose down the streets because they were lighting up just a long stretch of Georgia.
Yeah.
And like, they're obviously, it was made to be New York City. So they brought a bunch of subway, like, staircases. You know in New York, you've been to New York?
No.
You've seen the pictures where you go to the subway, obviously below the street, and you have those sort of stairways with the railing around them.
Does Buffalo count?
Yeah, Buffalo.
New York, it's Buffalo, New York.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah, I've seen a globe.
Okay.
Anyways, so they have all, they didn't have stairs, obviously, because there's no subway there, but they have all the railings up to make it look like New York.
Right.
But they're lighting up a long stretch of the street. And so there's nothing but like 20K lights, 20,000 watt lights coming out of each alley so he could have, like, in the distance, he could have everything lit up. And it was this guy's job to take the tanker truck and hose down the street. Already hosed down, though. I thought, what the easiest gig in the world.
You got to make sure that he's known that he's doing something.
No, but he's not hosing anything down. He's just sitting in the truck getting paid.
Oh, okay.
What a gig! What kind of a gig is that?
I thought he was still hosing in spite of all the work having
been done. No.
He's like, I better get out in here, do something. I'm going to get canned.
I said, hey, we're the hosers. You know, it was pretty awesome. And I guess the scene was some sort of, I don't want to say spoiler alert if you're going to see the movie in a year and a half. I don't know what it's called.
But, perfect. Great lead-in for the movie.
Yeah, I don't think they're relying on my word of mouth.
Endorsement.
Yeah. Hey, what does the hoser think? Yeah? No? Didn't think it? No, I think Shia LaBeouf's in it or something. So Google it if you want. But the best part was, I guess there was some sort of a fire alarm. In the scene, the fire alarm was pulled, so that all the extras had to stand out on the Vancouver street in their pajamas in the snow.
Awesome.
In the rain. It looked pretty miserable.
So if you look for that in the upcoming Robert Redford movie.
But at least you get to meet Downhill Racer, so everything works out. So yeah, back to your photo briefly.
Nice aside.
Wow, we're at 40 minutes.
So that's it. So you like my photo.
Okay. I do. I love it. Every aspect of it. I love the fact that the one headlight of the bus is obscured partially. And it's all around good photo.
Great.
Move on. You already win. I can't beat that. But let's talk about two women shopping. Oh, did you name your photo? No. See, you had to name it. Disqualified.
Seattle in the rain.
Well, too
Seattle
late.
After the rain.
Yeah. 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 Day no. late, dollar short.
So tell us about your picture.
Well, I went out on, I'd seen yours first, actually. I saw your picture.
And realized you were screwed.
I knew I was in for a tough one, but I had a picture in mind. And so I went back out on Granville Street, wandered around Granville Street in the cold. It was like zero or minus zero, I forget, but it was pretty cold.
Yeah.
And for Vancouver anyways. So wandering around there waiting for just somebody interesting. And it took a while. I was there for about 45 minutes before I found somebody interesting.
And by interesting, you mean pretty.
Yeah. What are the odds this is the one time my wife will listen? Yeah.
I'm pretty low. You're safe.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. Yeah. So
she's on Twitter right now. Someone's Twittering her.
Yeah, moving on.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless she had something good to end that with. No? All right. You want me to edit that out?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, all right. So anyway, these women, they're women. I don't know how old they were. I don't know how old they are, but I will guarantee you they are like in their, I don't know, I'm going to say like late 30s, but look really young.
Okay.
I can't tell. I'm only judging that because of the number of shopping bags they had.
Okay.
Because their arms were full with shopping bags. So that's why I'm saying that. So if you're listening, I'm going to say Melissa and Denise. It was M and D. I don't know their names.
Okay.
Michelle and Danielle.
Yep.
Marcy and Daphne.
Or Delia.
No, that's just crazy.
Megan and Darcy.
Megan and Darcy. No, I'm pretty sure it was Melissa. I'm pretty sure the white hat's Melissa. And what did I say? It wasn't Danielle. What's the other one I said?
Daphne?
Daphne. No, it's not Daphne. Fine, Danielle.
Okay.
Email me if you want me to pronounce your name properly. Anyways, so they came along and I convinced them to take their pictures. This is a setup thing. I didn't just snap away when someone was looking that way. I was on the street corner that I knew I wanted to take the picture. I knew the light was coming in just perfectly. You can see the light being reflected on the street by the windows behind me to the right.
Okay.
Because so obviously at this time of year, the sun is very low in the sky. And so when you walk around this downtown environment at certain times of the day, you get these crazy reflections from windows. And so I was hoping to get that featured in it. Like that would break up the pavement a little bit. I didn't want to shoot in the sun because it would just blow out the background. I wanted to have some shade falling. And so I lined them up there and I said, okay, when I say go to Mandy, I said, you're going to just turn and look back as if somebody called your name. And I kind of felt compelled to tell them that no one's actually going to call your name. Just so we're all clear here, don't sit and wait for someone to call. It's you're acting.
Okay.
And so she's like, oh, great, you're giving me like a motivation. And she didn't say that, but she thought it. And so that's what ended up happening. I had him face the other way. And then as soon as I yelled, go. She looked off as if someone was yelling her name, and that's the picture.
Okay.
So what's wrong with it?
Okay, here's my critique. There's two things that I see. If we only had Mandy, we're going to call her, with sure. the white hat.
No, it's Melissa. Melissa.
And I wish this picture was only of that background and just the one girl. Because I'm distracted by two things in the photo. I'm distracted by, I don't think the girl on the right, and I apologize, Daphne, or Danielle, that I don't think she adds to this picture. She's not turned the right way. Also the rim light, just being on her left collar, I don't think makes this picture better. I love the light, the way it's hitting the girl on the left, her hat, all the way down her shoulder and her back. And I love the background. But I find that girl on the right, and just that small little patch of light on her left shoulder, I find it a bit distracting. Plus, I have no idea profile or anything about her. So she doesn't seem like she belongs. And then the other thing I find a little distracting is the girl walking in the background. I wish she wasn't there.
Yeah.
So I love the background. I love the color of the background. And I love the way that light hits the girl with the white hat. But the other parts don't do it for me.
Okay, just wrong.
My personal taste. That's it.
No, you're actually bang on. I do like the fact that she's in it on the right. I wish I had more time to back up. But when I was directing the scene, it was kind of like, okay, got to hurry up and go. I didn't have much time because these girls had heavy packages. It was -0 degrees, and so I had to just kind of make it happen. So ultimately, I should have included more of the girl. I disagree that she shouldn't have been in it. I think she adds context. You would feel differently if her entire right shoulder was in.
Yeah.
You would feel differently if that random lady in the background wasn't in, which yeah. I was hoping she wouldn't be. You would feel much differently, I think, if that truck wasn't right behind Melissa's head.
Yes, true.
These are all terrible. I did poor. Because it's too bad, because otherwise I was like, hey, I already like this shot.
Yeah.
Like, I would maybe not frame it, but because my wife would not be thrilled, but and I bet you her husband plays for the future CFL Grey Cup champions, BC Lions.
Probably, yeah.
So, anyways, I this is a shot I would like to recreate under more controlled circumstances, and wait until the traffic breaks.
Agreed.
So,
agreed.
I would probably step further back and zoom in a little bit more with my 270-200 to soften the background even more. That way, any distracting cars would be less distracting.
True, but I think you might lose a little bit of those buildings. And to me, the focus in the background seems just fine. Mm. So I want to know that those are buildings because I think that adds context.
If I have the kind of control that Robert Redford does of controlling the traffic, then I would do that. Then yes. I would leave it. I would even shoot it at more depth of field. I would stop down some, but I don't really have that control.
No, so.
So there you go. Definitely you're the big winner.
Awesome. I'm going to put the belt back on. The championship photo challenge belt.
Yeah.
I made one,
by the way. We had talked about getting suspenders at one point. Championship suspenders, which didn't pan out.
Yes, I have the WWF belt.
Okay.
And it's WWF, not WWE. That's garbage ever since they changed that. That's
those pandas.
Yeah.
Yeah, to my credit, though, just to go back to it, I did shoot complete strangers. I didn't just default and like, oh, dear, oh, honey, can I shoot you from the picture?
I didn't know that was a requirement. It was not made part of the challenge.
I wouldn't say it's a requirement. It's just about going the extra mile.
Okay.
But go above and beyond.
Go the extra mile and take a better picture.
Okay, this week's... Turn down the suck knob. You have it cranked all the way to 11.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Moving along.
Moving on. Oh, my God. We had a long episode begin with.
Let's just shut it down right now.
Yeah. Workflow. I don't know. Workflow? Do whatever works for you.
Yeah.
What am I, your mom? Come on. Read the manual, man.
And I don't even think, I don't even really know what you mean by workflow. So, and I read the show notes.
You didn't read anything.
So explain to us. Workflow.
Okay. Workflow. We're going to talk a little bit about workflow. It was going to be this episode. Now it's going to be at least a two-parter.
Okay.
So when we get to the end, we're going to hang it off a cliff.
Oh, it's great.
Cliffhanger.
Yeah.
That's what I meant to say. With Sylvester Stallone.
That's right.
Right.
Where doesn't he die? Like, doesn't someone die right at the beginning?
Wow, spoiler alert.
Yeah, don't go back and watch that movie.
I'm pretty sure it's not Stallone.
No, but someone, a pretty key person dies right at the beginning, 3 minutes in.
No, well, one of the girlfriend of one of the main characters.
Yeah, I was traumatized.
I've never heard of her though.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
So go watch it.
Workflow. So what is what do we mean by workflow? Well, how do you take and process your images? Like what ends up, what do you do with your images?
I put them on the computer.
There you go, the end.
Yeah.
Gonna be a short show after all.
See, that didn't take two episodes.
Huh. That's a great point. Okay, well let's get into it. When does your workflow begin? Do not look at the show notes. When does your workflow begin?
Again, I'm not exactly sure what you mean by workflow, but is that, do you mean before you even take the pictures?
I'm asking you. Workflow is like when you go to build a house, what's the workflow? How do you start? Where do you start? What do you do? What comes next?
I think I get an idea as to why I'm taking my camera out of the bag. So usually I have something in mind. Am I going to the park to take pictures? Am I taking a portrait of the kids in their Christmas pajamas? I usually have something that I want to take a picture of. So that's where it starts.
You did read the show notes.
I did, but I think that's the beginning of building a house. You have to know what the house is going to look like.
Good call. Yeah. That's what I think about too. Is my workflow begins before I even start shooting. I have an idea of what I want to shoot. Remain fluid, of course. Like you want to be able to be flexible and roll with something. If something else comes up, run with it. You know. But when you go out of the house, so which lens are you going to use?
Usually,
it's not an answer. You have to think think about what lens am I taking? Because most times I go shooting, unless it's a certain like a pro portrait job, I don't take all of my lenses. I usually take one.
I take both of mine.
You take both yours. Okay. Well, I don't like hauling my bag around.
Okay.
And I don't like changing lenses in the middle of a shoot. Like if I'm walking around for an hour and I'm going to go shoot X, I don't want to be messing around with my lenses. So I take one lens. Now on a portrait shoot, I take them all and still use one. But when you're getting paid, you don't want to be left holding the bag. You know, like, I'd like a wide shot of my whole family and all you brought was the 300 mil.
Yeah.
You're in trouble then. All of a sudden, you're not getting paid.
Yeah.
So, problem solved. What lens are you going to use? Which camera? If you have more than one camera, which I do, which camera are you going to take?
Okay.
Okay, so, I mean, for me, I don't like taking my 5D with me wherever I'm going.
Because?
It becomes my focus. Because it's a very expensive camera. It's my main tool. It's how I earn my living with that camera. So if something were to happen to that camera, it would affect my livelihood.
Okay.
And so consequently, if I'm going to a party, I don't want to be thinking about, my camera, worried about it. So I'll take my 40D. Still a good camera, but I've used it an awful lot. It's getting worn out. But for me, it's not quite a throwaway camera, but I don't worry about it too much.
Right.
If my wife picks it up and starts snapping photos, I'm fine with it.
Okay.
Somebody else does, that's great.
Okay.
So what camera are you going to use? Are you going to bring your flash?
Depending.
Depending on what? That's the thing. You got to think about, is what I'm doing going to be flash pictures? I mean, am I going to be taking something that's going to require a very fast shutter speed and therefore flash might not even come into play?
Is it going to be light where you're going or is it going to be dark?
Exactly. Am I going to be filling in? You know all the right questions.
Right.
So that's where my workflow begins. What am I taking with me? And then once I'm out in the field, first of all, do you shoot raw?
Yes.
I knew you did.
Yeah.
I shoot raw as well. However, I shoot raw like it's JPEG.
And that means?
Get it right.
Okay.
A lot of the tendency, and everyone's heard this and everyone's talked about it and saying, you shoot raw and sort it out in the AM. I don't do that. I don't like doing that. I don't like sitting at my computer correcting mistakes that I could have fixed on site.
Right.
I prefer to take the extra time and get it right in the camera. And that's something I've learned the hard way. Not really the hard way, but I guess, because I was good with that from editing. But going out, and a lot of times when you're shooting video, you go out and shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot, and we'll sort the story out in editing. Not the way to do it, because you end up sitting there forever.
Okay, yeah, I agree.
And so, consequently, the one main thing that most people get wrong or get lazy on, let's just say it, they get lazy on, is a white balance.
Yes. Guilty.
I'm guilty myself.
Yeah.
I try to get it right if I can. I would love to shoot with the gray card all the time. You don't have time.
Yeah.
So ultimately, I try to guess and get it right. Or if you have to use auto, go ahead. I prefer not to, but it's nothing wrong with it. But try to get it really close, and then you don't have to mess around in post. So yeah, that's it.
We're done.
We're done. That's how you shoot pictures. So the other thing is when you're out in the field and you're like you snap off a bunch of pictures, do you delete in the camera?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Not always, but if I really know that I took a great picture and I'm certain of it, I might delete the three or four before it that were essentially the same shot, just I wasn't happy with.
Aren't you going to archive those?
Generally not.
No. I've heard a lot of people say, no, you shouldn't delete. You shouldn't delete in the field. I disagree. I delete when I can for the exact same reason. If I take three of the same and I know two are not as good, they're gone.
Yeah, because you don't want to then have to sort through them after the fact.
No. And so, I mean, I try not to do it too much because if you're, you know, shooting your kid's soccer game or something, you might miss an opportunity.
Yeah.
So you kind of want to be careful. Ideally, you'll scale back your shooting.
Right.
And shoot less, not more. But yeah, I will go through and delete. The other rub, though, is that it can eat your battery.
To be sorry.
I mean, the batteries nowadays, they last almost forever.
Yeah.
Like, how often do you charge your battery? Once a week?
Oh, not even.
Yeah.
Every 2 weeks, I'd say.
Yeah.
And I take a lot of pictures.
That's unbelievable
nowadays.
So, however, I definitely promote deleting in the field if you can.
Okay.
So, I do, when I am shooting, though, and I know I've taken a shot that I like I knew the shot of Debbie and...
Monica.
Monica. all I could think of was Mrs. So I shot the picture of Debbie and Monica. I shot a couple of them. I shot like five in a row, but I knew immediately which image it was that I wanted.
Unfortunately, it wasn't that good.
That was the best one. That's the worst part. The other ones were terrible.
Okay.
Way worse. The truck was close. It doesn't matter, but I knew immediately that it was okay. I think it was image four out of the five that I took. But it was like, all right, problem solved. So I quickly took a look at that on the screen. Took a look at the number and remembered that four-digit number. And when I got back there to my computer, I knew that was the one. So I didn't have to mess around.
Okay.
So that's something else to pay attention to. So here's the real workflow. Is your post-production. That's what people are asking when it comes to workflow. So how do you do your post-production?
Cliffhanger.
Next week we'll get Stallone to come in here and tell us how to process our photos.
Yes. So let's talk a little bit about this. We're at the 2-hour mark, aren't we?
First of all, I've cut most of that out. Most of your gibberish about going to the first ever Starbucks or whatever you were talking about earlier at Seattle. Nobody cares about Pike's Place Market.
I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Space Needle.
Space Noodle. So anyways, what do you use for post-production?
Aperture.
Why do you use Aperture?
Because you told me to. I was using iPhoto, and there was a few more features and a little easier to use the post-production sliders. There's more options, I think, available in Aperture. I still occasionally sort back through iPhoto, and I think it's a pretty good program as well, but I do prefer Aperture.
Spoiler alert for part three of this cliffhanger. We'll get back to iPhoto.
Okay.
iPhoto is extremely handy. And first of all, when I say iPhoto, I mean anything like it.
Okay.
This is like anything like it on the PC. Like it's that's. I use a Mac, obviously. If I use Aperture, which means I use a Mac,
right?
You use Aperture, and that's the same thing. Apparently, PCs are really good. This isn't. We've revisited this a long time ago on the show. We are Mac snobs.
Yes.
Which is odd because we don't own the company or have anything to do with it.
Yeah, we just buy their products.
We're just those guys.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, just going to shoot our mouths off as if we invented the MacBook Air. Yeah, no, I'm not that guy, but I am a Mac guy across the board, and so consequently, I use Aperture. But why not Lightroom?
Because you use a Mac, or can you get Lightroom for Mac?
Absolutely.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Absolutely. It's because Lightroom is an absolute dog of a program.
Meaning that's
no,
good?
I'm just joking. It's terrible.
It's good, though, isn't it?
Yes, of course it is.
Okay.
But there's somehow, much like this fake Toronto-Vancouver war, there's some sort of a war with Aperture Lightroom users. Or there was.
Is Lightroom a more expensive program than Aperture?
Yes, that's
considerably more expensive.
Yeah.
Right?
That's when I bought Aperture, I believe it was $200 and Lightroom was $300. Yeah. And then the App Store came out, because I know you were looking at getting Aperture.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden the App Store came out and it was like $60.
It was $80. It's $80 bucks, I think.
In Canada.
In Canada, yeah.
So at $80, it's unfortunately, I mean, unless you really are making your money and need Aperture or need Lightroom, how do you justify spending an extra $220?
You don't.
It's tough to do.
Yeah.
Because for the most part, I mean, they're both great programs. They're both fantastic. I've seen Chris Marquardt show me why he loves Lightroom better, and great. I love Aperture, but it serves the purpose for me. And it's such a powerful program that if you take any time to worry about it, you're just wasting your time.
Okay.
Because it's awesome.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
So that's why I use that. I use a MacBook Pro.
Which I use an iMac.
We'll talk later. I wish I had an iMac.
It's pretty nice.
It is pretty nice. I travel a lot and thus can't really carry on a nice big iMac.
Yeah, not portable.
Uh-uh. So unfortunately, I need to be able to edit photos and video in the field. And so, not actually a field.
That, I keep thinking that. You use that. You've said field a lot.
Yeah.
I keep thinking of soccer nets.
Oh, no, I meant like Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
Yeah, Empire Stadium. I was at Empire Stadium. No, but to be flying back and forth to Europe and all that stuff, and or flying back and forth to North America, if you look at it that way, I can't have an iMac. So,
okay.
Wish I did.
Okay,
because they are awesome. So, yes, we both use Aperture, so we're going to talk about that. Talk about it from that perspective. Import. So, how do we get our pictures into the computer? Go.
I take the card, the memory card out of my camera, and again, my iMac has a card reader, which I'm guessing a lot of computers nowadays have.
Well, first off, you're shooting with what kind of a card?
An SD card.
An SD card. So yeah. you're the iMac and most of the MacBook Pros and that have an SD reader built in.
Right.
My cameras all use compact flash.
Okay.
Which I actually happen to like better, but unfortunately, no built-in card reader.
Okay.
So
I stick the card into the card reader, and then I just import it right into Aperture.
Do you still?
Yeah. I tried you'll talk probably about it, but it kept causing problems. It kept importing it under the wrong names, and it was bizarre. I was having problems.
So I think we call that user error.
Probably.
Yeah.
But I just went to the old method of just importing it right into Aperture, and then should I talk about how I organize it?
We'll get to that.
Okay. I don't want to step on your toes here.
We're going to drag this out for 3 episodes, man.
Oh, I feel a cliffhanger.
You can't just yell cliffhanger. It has to be, what's going to happen next?
Okay.
Okay, so import. Now, I used to do the same thing.
Okay.
Plug it. I have a USB card reader, so yeah. I can read my CF cards. And I would used to just put them into Aperture.
Yeah.
Now, I was told that you get much better results or much better, I guess, I don't know. Better, what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
Not security.
I'm going to leave you hanging.
Yeah, that's
I don't know.
There's the cliffhanger.
A cliffhanger.
There's the owl hanger right there. It's a lot safer.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't happen very often, but I've heard of people every once in a while getting corrupt cards by importing directly into Aperture. Now, it's never happened to me.
It's never happened to me.
Probably never will.
It probably won't.
So what I do, however, now, this does create an extra step. I copy them to my hard drive first, the raw files, the CR2s,
yeah,
directly to my hard drive, pop the disk out or the card out, and then import them into Aperture.
Okay.
Now,
and the reason being just to prevent the potential for a corruption in the card?
And it seems to be much faster. Like the copying process, if you copy it to your hard drive, seems to be much quicker. And then you still import, so the net time is probably the same.
Yeah, I have to say it's pretty fast.
It's pretty fast.
Yeah.
So
just from the card direct.
Not a lot to cry about.
Okay.
Like I said, you can't go wrong, but here's how I do it.
Okay.
Now, what I do is I copy it over to the hard drive, and then I basically change the names of my files.
Yeah.
Because I do not like the existing files.
Right.
Why don't I like that?
Because I guess when you go to access it later, you, by changing the names, you know exactly how to find things. Is that why?
That's actually not why. I mean, sort of why. Basically, if you shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot, and you shoot 10,001 pictures,
right,
you now have two IMG/0001s.
Okay, yeah.
I don't like having that. I don't like having two files named the same, even though they're taken on different days and they're different images. So I don't like that.
Okay.
So what I do is I change the name. I get rid of the IMG part, and I basically rename it for the year and the month that I took that picture. And I leave the four-digit number the same. So that way I never, ever, ever have the same file twice.
Okay.
Now, that sounds like a lot of work.
It kind of is.
It isn't. What I did was I set up an automator action.
Yes.
So that all I do was when I open up my card, I select the raw files I want to import. I drag them and I drop them on a droplet I created.
This is way too complicated.
Maybe.
Nobody do this.
Everybody do this. This is awesome. Okay. I created a rename automator workflow that looks for IMG and changes it to, for instance, this month, 2011-11.
Right.
And that's all it does. And it takes like less than a second to do all your files. But I incorporated that. When I saved it out, I saved it as a little droplet on my desktop. So all I do is drag my files, drop them on there. The Mac then copies them into a specified folder and then changes all the names to exactly how I want it.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
This week in Who Cares?
Wow.
Cliffhanger?
Oh boy! No, we're going all night now. Forget the cliffhanger. This all is right. The Godfather of episodes. But this way, it's a one step process for that part.
Yeah.
And then I open up Aperture and import those. Boom! There you go.
Okay.
So that's how I do that. Where are we at? Do you use a managed library or reference files?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
You know what? Maybe you should go sit on the couch and listen to this episode. I don't think your participation here is really valuable.
I told you that. I told you. Just to be fair, I told you that going in.
Yeah. I wasn't listening.
Basically, I'll tell you the way I do it. I import into Aperture. I basically go by month. So every month I have a project library, and everything from that month that I shoot goes into that library. So I am using the IMG files, but I'm naming the folder, whatever month it is and whatever year it is. And then all my photos within that folder are organized by date and time. And so that's how I access them after the fact.
That's fine. Okay, but now, in terms of managed library or reference files, what you can do is...
I don't even know what that means. What's the difference?
Yeah, well, maybe stop talking. I'll tell you.
Okay. Sorry, Captain Defensive.
I'm not being defensive. You're being defensive. Why am I being defensive? It's you, right?
Yeah, it's me.
Oh, thank God. What was I talking about? Seattle?
Hey, reference something.
What the?
Managed files.
When you copy the files over, it can be very similar to iTunes or something, or some other program where Aperture can read those files and leave them where they exist.
Right.
But they always have to be there. Or you can tell Aperture to handle it. Like, you move it where you need them to go, and you just deal with it. And it basically moves those files into one large sort of, kind of like a zip file.
Okay.
Where your project library lives. And so now you probably on your computer have one file that is like 60 gigabytes. I don't know how many pictures you've shot.
A lot.
Yeah. So you probably have a 60 or 100 gigabyte file sitting there, one file. I use a managed library as well. I let Aperture handle all that. So that's the way to go. For me, you can't go wrong on the other one. So I import into Aperture. Like you said, I create a new project for every month. This is just my workflow.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's right. Some people create new albums for months. I create a project for the year. I create a new project for every month. And I title it like 2011-11, so they're all in order. I basically, when I import, I use a simple preset. Do you do that?
No.
Okay. When you go to make changes on your picture, do you ever find that you make a certain set of changes all the time?
Maybe if I took a bunch of pictures in the same light. So if I took, you know, 50 pictures at 3 o'clock outdoors at the park, then I probably I'm making similar changes to each of those photos that I keep. So I might end up keeping 7 or 8 photos, and I bet you I make a very similar adjustment in terms of white balance and sharpening and saturation and whatnot.
Okay.
But I don't have a preset for that because I don't know that I use it enough.
Gotcha. See, there's a certain set of parameters that I always change, like a certain sort of starting point that I like in my pictures.
It sounds pretty cookie cutter.
And it's not, absolutely not, but I've dialed it in where I know for a fact that when I'm shooting with actually both of my cameras, I like a very, very minor adjustment in the mid-tone contrast.
Okay.
I like to go up by like 0.2 or 2.0 or whatever the thing is, very small to the right. I always do it. In my pictures, I just happen to like the fact that they pop like that.
Okay.
And so consequently, I'm going to apply that to every picture anyways. So I created a little preset, which I will show you how to do.
Okay.
So that when I import them, it automatically shows up. Every picture shows up with that small adjustment made.
So you don't have to go through and then apply it anyways.
And you can ramp it up later, or you can... You can ramp it down, whatever you want. It's not permanent, of course, because right. It's raw. But you can make the adjustment. So that's what I do. I have that set. They all go in there.
What are the other, just so we know, what are the other things that you typically have set in there?
It's only one other thing, really. I tend to slide the vibrancy slightly to the right. So the blues just get a little bit more depth to them.
Okay.
That's my other small, minor adjustment.
Okay.
That I always make. Cliffhanger! Okay.
I didn't say it that time in case anyone was wondering.
No.
I've said it every other time.
We're gonna get to the end of import. That's going to be this show.
Okay. Holy Are we almost God. There?
Oh, yeah. So why don't you go sit on the couch and I'll just take her home.
Okay, take her home.
Okay. Do you use keywords?
No.
Ooh, no.
No.
That's a horrible error.
I also don't use Facebook or Twitter.
Well, those aren't the same.
No, I'm just saying. I don't do those things either. I'm just telling you.
Do you like coffee? I like the color blue.
People that haven't been in my kitchen.
Well, that's be that as it may, Alex. Those people have never been in my kitchen. I don't use keywords that often. I like to. Like, for instance, if you you know what they are?
Well, I guess you can sort things by certain topics,
right? If you, like, let's say you go down to the park.
Yeah.
Pick a park.
Steveston.
Steveston Park. You're down at Steveston Park one day and you shoot like 100 pictures. And on import, you can just tell it, add the keyword Steveston Park. And I find that going through your old library of pictures and adding keywords to be really cumbersome.
Yeah.
And P.S., I don't do it. But if you can remember on import, it's a great way to sort through. If you're looking for a picture and go, geez, you know, what was that day? Enter the keyword Steveston Park in a search, that'll come up. So I recommend trying to do that more.
Great tip.
On import.
That's a good tip. No, I really think it is. I'm not being facetious.
It'll. I don't know what that means.
Okay.
So I tend to, depends. I mean, oftentimes I remember when I shot everything.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of a nerd. True story, I can solve the Rubik's Cube in 2 minutes.
That's awesome.
Not one of those speed guys who can do it in 40 seconds. Those guys are like super nerds. So I am kind of a nerd like that, and I don't say that with any pride. That's really just nerd.
We get it.
So the point is, I remember when I shot most every picture, so I can find them really quickly. So I don't use keywords that much.
Do we have an applause track?
I don't like to throw the word hero around lightly.
Cliffhanger!
Last thing before we move on then. Do you have any idea what your preview size is set to?
No idea.
No, you should know.
I don't.
You should know, because that's going to save you, probably save you some space. Now, what happens is, when you bring in your raw file,
yeah,
I mean, you can't really see a raw file. So your computer basically creates a preview image for you to look at.
Right.
Okay? Now, you can tell Aperture, and I'm assuming Lightroom as well, how large to make that preview file. So you can make it full size. It can be whatever your 10-megapixel camera is. It could be a 10-megapixel preview. Or you can tell it, don't bother making it bigger than my screen. So whatever your screen size is.
Yeah.
2 megapixels, probably.
Yeah.
And so if you would make that adjustment, you'd probably never need it much bigger than your screen size. For just the preview part, not the actual image. You can save yourself a lot of hard drive space. So look under the preferences and have a look at what yours is set to.
I will.
I set mine to be the largest screen that I use. Because I use dual monitors sometimes with my laptop. And so I think whatever that larger screen is, that's what my preview size is.
Okay.
So there you go. So that's the beginning. That's how we get the pictures into Aperture. Before you go and start messing around with them, once they're imported, because I'm using a managed library, it moves those files into its own library. It copies them.
Yeah.
So you still have those existing files sitting on your computer. So you have them on that hard drive twice.
Right. And then I probably even have a third because I also make a backup. Like,
oh, man, you are skipping ahead.
Well,
forget the backup.
You said twice. I actually yes. have them 3 times.
Twice on the same hard drive, which okay. is no good. That's no. If you're doing backups, do not back up to the same hard drive.
Right, I'm not.
Yes. So the fact that you have them twice on the same disk, you can delete one set.
Okay.
So go back and delete the ones that you copied. That's what I do. And then now, boom, they're in Aperture, and then we'll get to that next week because this went on way too long because of your rambling Seattle story.
Yeah, that's really where we lost the time.
Yeah, we even have questions from people on the Google Plus, which this is a big day because I don't think you've seen the Google Plus site, have you?
I have not.
Yeah, Adam does not participate in any way.
Oh, my God. It's a cliffhanger.
This is where it's going to end up. You're about to get smacked for saying cliffhanger so much. This is what our Google Plus looks like. So,
wow.
Yeah, I don't even know how to work this. That's the worst part.
Looks like Facebook.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the post that we did. I did. So we have some questions about workflow. So why don't we have a look here? We got one from Mike. His is long. So you can see how long this one went.
Holy.
So which software applications do you use and why?
We talked about that.
We talked about that. I use Aperture. I do use Photoshop, and you use Photoshop, yep. don't you? I use it less and less.
Me too.
I find that it's really not for me. I don't. I mean,
it's
I use
time
it.
Time consuming, that's for sure.
It's time consuming, and for me, I really enjoy the photography part of it. I don't love the manipulating images or correcting stuff that I should have got right in the first place.
I agree.
There's completely other uses for Photoshop.
I made our Christmas card with it this year.
There you go.
So.
What about Nix Software? I've used the trial on Nix Software. They have like a lot of amazing plugins to make really great black and white, among other things. And so I've used that somewhat, and it is fantastic. It's a little expensive. It's a plugin for Aperture or for Lightroom or whatever else you want to use it for. I think it's around $300 just for black and white. Yeah, it's a lot of money, but definitely worth it. What's your hardware setup? Well, we're both on Mac Macs. I'm on a laptop.
iMac.
Calibrated monitor?
No.
No, me neither. And that's a lot of that is just more because I'm colorblind.
Yeah.
And
I just because I don't know how to do that.
I've worked on calibrated monitors before, and it is important, but I think we've mentioned it before. I try to get the image as close as I can. And then I don't worry too much about it.
Because me either.
Everybody's viewing experience is slightly different. Because how do I know that Mike can see the same colors I see or perceive it in the same way? Or maybe his room is painted blue and so therefore on his monitor. So many variables that unless you're submitting stuff for print ads, I wouldn't worry too much about calibration. So here we go. How do you separate the wheat from the chaff? Well, that's next week. So best tip on saving time, don't listen to the podcast.
Just save yourself 3 hours.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, we have more questions. So what's the correct sequence? We'll get to that. Perhaps going through exactly what you do. I think I was exact about everything, unfortunately. And then amateur photo enthusiast who's in the Lightroom but doesn't know if all the tagging and rating is worth it. It probably is. I think the tagging, that's like the keywords, I think.
Yeah.
And
you can tag people too, right? You can, you know, so that when you look for Al in a photo, all the photos where you're in them. Like, I know that.
Yeah, but most times Brad Pitt pops up.
That's right.
So
gets confused.
Yeah, yeah. That happens.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, you know what? We're going to get into that next week on part 2 of 9, apparently, of workflow. So definitely thanks for the questions. We're going to get to those. Photo challenge for next week.
I have one.
What?
Deliberately out of focus picture.
Okay, but starting now, not one that you've taken previously.
Right.
Yeah.
Take a picture where the subject is deliberately out of focus. The entire picture doesn't have to be out of focus.
Can it?
If you would like it to be. I don't want my picture to be completely out of focus.
Really?
Yeah, I don't. I don't know what I'm going to take.
Hoping. You haven't taken it yet?
No.
Okay.
Hoping for a happy accident.
What are you going to take?
I'm going to give my camera to Jack. I should get something out of focus.
Hey, that's good thinking.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let Jack touch my camera.
Okay.
Yeah. So, okay, deliberately out of focus. I'm already thinking about that. How out of don't answer that.
No,
don't answer that. No more.
No, I'm not going to give you any hints.
All right. No hints. Were we rolling on that? Okay, yes.
Or did your tape run out?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So how about you tell us where we can find your stuff?
Oh, my stuff, as usual, is at alanatridge.com, and you can find both of us on the Twitter.
Or what about this whole Google Plus thing?
Yeah, I was getting to that.
Oh, sorry.
Do it in order.
Okay.
All right. Let's reload that. Go to Twitter. Hey, we're on the Google Plus. I like Google Plus better than the other stuff. Flickr, I will still keep doing Flickr at least till the end of the year. Just to kind of, maybe we'll phase it out. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be a big year. 2012. Will Flickr, will he phase it out? Cliffhanger! Oh, my God. You know what? Have not had a single beer today.
That's awesome. Neither have I.
People are going to think that we've been drinking pretty heavily.
Yeah.
And no.
Mostly illicit drugs.
Well, thanks for making it weird. Well, great. So anyways, yeah, you can find us on the Google Plus, which I haven't even linked to yet. Can you just Google Google Plus? Probably.
I'm sure you can.
Yeah. And the thing is, I meant to apologize for my Google Plusing. I'm really bad at it.
It's new, though.
It is new, but
you're one of the pioneers.
No, I'm not one of the pioneers. But they have, like, for a long time, they had, like, your personal site.
Can we stretch this out?
And then you would have, they added business sites.
Okay.
So I try to do everything out of the two hosers, but my name is on one of the sites, and that's where I think people try to get us in their circles. And I don't know if it's for Alan or if it's for two hosers, because I'm not going to use Alan.
Oh.
And then I think I put two hosers into its own, like, into two hoser circles, which seems like you shouldn't be able to do that, and I broke it. I know, it's riveting. The look on your face says, wow, I'm already asleep. My point is to the listeners who are, good luck still listening. If you got put in a circle or taken out of a circle or something like that, don't take it personally. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm trying to keep everybody involved. If anybody wants to follow the show, I'm going to try to include you.
And this podcast is long because of my Seattle story.
Yeah. Except for you, Joseph Puglio. You're out. All right? Quit trying to circle me.
Awesome.
Jeez, I can't believe I had that conversation again.
Are you going to ask me where you can find my stuff?
Yeah, I don't really care.
Schwartzchronicles.com. A couple of white background shots probably somewhere on there.
Well, that's excellent.
Great.
We should have opened with that.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's it for this week. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.